Welcome to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. With members of our congressional delegation visiting detention centers in Texas and Florida this week, and with the Supreme Court having agreed to hear arguments next term about the legality of deferred action for childhood arrival, or DACA, our whole hour today will explore aspects of immigration policy. We start with a look at the DACA program, which stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and was created in 2012 by President Obama to grant temporary status to certain individuals who were brought to the U.S. as children. Earlier, we spoke to Estefany Pineda. She's a Massachusetts resident, UMass student, and currently enrolled in the DACA program. She told us what it's like, knowing that any day she could lose her protected status and potentially even be deported.
It's been very difficult. I exposed myself more in order to advocate for fellow dreamers. And it has also been a time where I keep longing for an answer. But I think that I've become more patient in waiting for something. But again, how hard and how bad I want this, it's still there. That feeling of wanting an answer is still there. But I see that we're slowly at least progressing somewhere, and that gives me a little bit of relief.
Estefany, when we spoke with you in 2017, at that time you asked us to use just your middle name, Paola, because you were concerned for your family. Since then, you've appeared at the State of the Union, and you are using your full name with us today. What has changed in your sense of advocacy that you've made this decision now?
To begin with, I feel like I have exposed myself more. And while it has been very scary to go from using my middle name to using my actual first name to using my first and last name, I feel like it's a necessity at this point. It is scary, as I said, but there's a need for it. There's a need for me to put myself out there in order for something to get done. And there's a need for people to know who I am in order for them to listen to us and to know that our lives are depending on this one decision.
Have you been through the renewal process yet? And if so, how was that for you?
I have been. So I was a bit skeptical at first to renew. I've only renewed once. And I was a bit scared to do it just because it's not a set in stone thing as it was during the Obama administration. Now that they want to take it away, there's more precautions that you need to take. So I was a bit scared to do it. And also, because me and my sisters are under DACA, so one of my sisters, it took her 2 years to get her card. So I didn't want to go into the process not knowing whether I would get it or not, or even telling them again that I'm here in a way, even though they already have my information. It's just, again, raising that flag, like, I'm here and I need you to, like, protect me in a way, to say it like that.
When we last spoke with you, you were just starting classes at UMass. Are you still in school? Are you still taking classes? And what has that been like for you?
Yes, I am. So I just finished my sophomore year. I'm going into my junior year. It has been difficult just because of this moves on, but it's actually not moving on. We take one step forward and then five steps backwards. I'm almost halfway through my college career and not knowing what I'm going to be able to do once I get out, or not knowing if I can actually go into my master's because financially I won't be able to afford it because of my status, because I won't get federal help. So it's just a lot of questions as I get further into my education of what am I going to do once I'm done with my degree.
You were actually a guest of Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley at the State of the Union in Washington this year. Is that correct?
Correct.
What was that like?
First, from the start, it was an unbelievable experience. From the moment that I received the call that I could be a potential guest, I couldn't believe it. At first, I thought it was maybe a scam call. And then actually receiving a call from her a few days later, like confirming that I was her guest, it was unbelievable. And then I wasn't very much excited to say to, while I respect the person sitting in office today, I also don't respect his decisions. The experience overall was amazing. It was unique, once in a lifetime. The speech given by the president did hurt me because I was expecting something more. At the same time that I wasn't expecting, I was expecting. And the things that he said didn't make a good case for immigrants. Instead, he made us look like monsters, like murderers. So it was a bit uncomfortable to sit there and hear him say those things, but I think me being there was important.
Estefany, what do you wish a president of the United States would say about immigrants in a State of the Union?
I feel like we could always focus on the negative. And again, immigrants, we're not all murderers. There's a small percentage of there. I'm not saying there's no immigrants that have committed crimes, but there's this also this other aspect of immigrants, just like DACA and TPS holders, who are working, who have careers, who are doctors, who are surgeons, who are teachers. So there is that higher percentage of immigrants that are doing the work that others don't want to do, or who have made in a country where it might be impossible, they have created careers for themselves.
Estefany, staying on the national front for a moment, we will be speaking with Congresswoman Catherine Clark later today. If you had the opportunity to speak with a member of Congress right now, what would you say to them?
I would tell them to keep fighting for us, that we need this. Again, to put themselves in our shoes. As I've said before, I cannot continue to cry and tell my story. Right now, it's a moment to tell them we need this, because we can't keep living our lives in a 2-year span. Like, we're not a toy and we're not a bargaining chip. We are people that need jobs, that need to work, that need to go to school. And we can't keep living that life of uncertainty. So to please just keep working for us, keep being on our side, because we need them.
People who are DACA recipients, people who qualify as dreamers, were brought here as children. Children, we understand, don't have the freedom to make their own decisions. They don't necessarily get to choose where they're going to live or what they want to do, even at a very early age. But when children become adults, it's our standard expectation that part of that rite of passage is getting to choose your life, getting to make decisions for yourself. Do you feel like you have the power to make your own decisions, or do you feel constrained by your situation in a way that other adults around you are not?
I certainly feel constrained. I do feel a certain amount of freedom, because as of now, my number one priority is school, and I'm able to do that as of right now. So I do feel freedom in that sense. But again, when I see others around me taking on opportunities, I am studying international relations. An important part of studying that is traveling abroad, and I'm not able to do that. And other fellow students or fellow classmates of mine are able to take on those opportunities to travel abroad and get that experience to work in a career under international relations, and I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to take on certain jobs because at a certain point, my work permit will expire and then have to go into that process again to reapply. So in that sense, I do feel constrained, as if I can't really fully move forward with my life because I don't know what's going to happen next.
It's been just over a year since the Trump administration began its family separation policy at our border. There has been a lot of news coverage about the detention centers. There's been public debate over the morality of what our nation is doing. What do you make of the current situation at the border?
It saddens me, truly. When I see the stories, the news stories, it really brings tears to my eyes, just because We're not treating them like human beings. They're just things. We just see things at the border, and we see them as danger when they're not danger. They're just trying to look for a better life, just like I was. They're moving because it's that necessity, where if they stay in their home countries, they won't survive. So they'd rather take that leap of faith and come here, again, not knowing what's going to happen to them. And it's just inhumane to think that someone would separate children from their parents. It's just, again, it's that egocentric part of the U.S. that I would say, to think that you wouldn't do that to a U.S. citizen, but they think it's okay to do it to immigrants, which are no less than a U.S. citizen.
Estefanie, the Supreme Court likely will have a ruling on the legality of the DACA program one way or the other in the summer of 2020. With that future uncertainty about a year away, what are your priorities for yourself over the next year?
Again, my priority is my education, and I just want to continue with that. Whatever happens, I think that that's the one thing that as of right now I can hold on to, and I'm going to keep holding on to it until I finish, and also putting my family first as well.
That's Estefanie Pineda, a dreamer from Massachusetts. Estefanie, thanks so much for being with us.
Again, thank you for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, we'll take your calls. And we'll speak with Congresswoman Catherine Clark, who visited a detention center in Florida today. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.